and welcome to this ACE Oncocast. This podcast series is entitled Frequently Asked Questions on Clinical Practice in Urothelial Cancers. My name is Delith Eichermann, and I am delighted to be joined today by two leading urothelial cancer experts, Dr. Enrique Grande from MD Anderson Cancer Center in Madrid and Dr. Francisco Real from the National Cancer Center in Madrid, Spain. In today's ACE Oncocast, our clinical experts will be discussing the frequently asked questions for the second line and salvage treatments. Dr. Grande, what are the currently available options for second line and salvage treatments?
The current standard of care is platinum-based chemotherapy followed by immunotherapy, followed by avelumab maintainers. And I think, depending on what the patient receives in the first line, we can have different options, different alternatives in the second line setting. If the patients are receiving the standard of care, chemo followed by avelumab maintenance, the level 1A evidence is for enfortumab vedotin in this scenario. Enfortumab vedotin, as a single agent, according to the data of the EV301, it is impacting in the survival of the patients significantly, has a ratio 0.7, which is extremely good, I think, versus chemotherapy in this scenario, but I think, at least in my opinion, the most important strength of enfortumab vedotin in this setting is the potency, is how many patients are responding. And 41% of the patients in the phase 3 trial responded clinically significant. Because when you have a patient that is progressing to both chemotherapy and immunotherapy, you need something to really rescue these patients. In Europe, unfortunately, we don't have erdafitinib that it is already approved by FDA. Erdafitinib is an oral FGFR inhibitor that in the Thor phase 3 trial demonstrated to be superior in terms of overall survival to standard chemotherapy. Precision medicine has arrived. Erdafitinib can be considered, I would say should be considered, to patients with FGFR2 and FGFR3 molecular alterations, including mutations and fusions. The toxicity of erdafitinib is something that could limit the activity and could limit the dose. Diarrhea, ocular alterations, mucositis can happen and they can impact in the quality of life of the patients. So careful selection of the patients from the molecular perspective is needed. What about those patients that are progressing during chemotherapy? These patients, they have the worst prognostic factor. Guidelines, at least the ESMO guidelines, are recommending as 1A evidence the use of pembrolizumab, which is extremely good, at least in terms of survival, because of the data of the KEYNOTE-045. Pembrolizumab is well tolerated, however, I have a concern. And my concern is in regard of a patient that is progressing during chemotherapy is a good candidate or is the ideal candidate to be benefited from the use of immunotherapy single agent? Maybe not, because we know that the immunotherapy, well, needs time to respond, needs time to add on the tumor. And maybe this is not what we can expect from pembrolizumab. What I am suggesting? I am suggesting that maybe a potent drug like enfortumab vedotin can also rescue these patients that are progressing to chemo. We need to go to the data of the EV101, in which there were patients treated only with chemotherapy without the use of immunotherapy in this field. And the responses we saw were independent of the use of chemo of immunotherapy before these patients. I think this is a good alternative that patients can receive. The third patient profile that we can find in the second line setting are those patients treated with single agent IO, single agent pembro, single agent atezolizumab, and maybe atezolizumab is becoming the standard of care. In fact, we have the data of the cohort 2 of the EV201 trial in which we can observe a response rate in the range of 80% when using enfortumab single agent after single agent pembrolizumab of atezolizumab. So it depends, the sequencing strategy, it will be depending on what we had in the first line and what it was the response to the treatment we gave in the first line setting.
How do you select and sequence these options for patients who have progressed after first-line platinum-based chemotherapy?
Depending on how the progression has happened, I mean, if the patient has progressed during the induction chemotherapy or the patient has progressed after induction chemotherapy and immunotherapy, we can offer different alternatives to the patient. For those patients progressing during chemo, well, I would suggest to think if the patient needs a response, how rapid it was the progression, because depending on that question, we can go for the standard of care, pembrolizumab, according to the phase 3 trial, KEYNOTE-045, impact in the overall survival versus former chemo, taxanes or vinflunine. Or maybe you can go, or you can consider the use of enfortumab single agent in this scenario, because those patients progressing during chemo, the aggressiveness of the tumor, it is normally to be aggressive, to be really fast-growing tumors, impact in the quality of life, impact with symptoms in the patient. So you need one drug, potent drug, that works fast and very potently. So enfortumab vedotin could be that drug. For those patients receiving the standard of care, chemo followed by avelumab maintenance, the use of enfortumab vedotin is considered the standard of care in this scenario, unless you have the opportunity to offer for NGS testing and the opportunity to get erdafitinib to this treatment. If you need to choose in between enfortumab vedotin or erdafitinib, well, there are no head-to-head comparison, but I don't consider that one is better than the other, but I think you need to use the common sense. And the common sense says that if you perform the NGS testing, if you have a positive result, please use the targeted agents ahead of enfortumab vedotin.
How do you select and sequence these options for patients who have progressed after frontline immunotherapy?
Well, for those patients who receive in the first line single agent pembro, single agent atezolizumab, I think the most potent strategy that we can use is enfortumab vedotin. Enfortumab vedotin in the cohort 2 of the EV201 trial has data that are showing 83% of responses according to RECIST criteria in patients not pretreated with chemotherapy, only treated with single-agent immunotherapy. I think these data are amazing, are contributing not only to the tumor shrinkage, but are contributing also to control the symptoms of the patients, and definitely this amount of responses will impact in the survival. I don't have any doubt about that. So enfortumab vedotin could be the alternative of choice for those patients progressing to atezo or pembro single-agent.
What are the current developments and future applications of predictive biomarkers in metastatic urothelial cancer?
There is a lot of interest in implementing molecular analysis of bladder cancer and identifying the markers that could be predictive of response to therapy. For example, the luminal papillary subtype of bladder cancers that I mentioned earlier is highly enriched in point mutations and fusions in the FGFR3 gene. FGFR3 codes for a molecule that's a kinase that can be targeted by small molecules and by antibodies. Therefore, the presence of mutations in FGFR3 as well as the presence of gene fusions is highly predictive of response to drugs targeting FGFR3, most notably to the small molecules tyrosine kinase inhibitors. Regarding the classical therapy, such as cisplatin-based therapy, chemotherapy, there have been several studies that have confirmed that ERCC2 mutations and ERCC2 low expression are associated with better response to therapy. Other genes have also been associated with response to cisplatin, however, they have not been corroborated in additional studies. Importantly, these predictive biomarkers have to be tested prospectively in new studies. And this is now challenged by the fact that obviously there is a plethora of new agents coming into play in muscle invasive bladder cancer. In advanced disease, obviously immune oncology and immune checkpoint blockade is becoming a very important drug being used in the treatment of these patients. However, unlike in for example, lung cancer, in bladder cancer, the predictors of response to immune oncology drugs are much less robust. And I think that while they are being used somewhat extensively by the community and they can be companion diagnostics, their value is much more limited than in other tumor types. Regarding the new drugs that are emerging, such as the drugs targeting TROP2 or Nectin-4, we still have too little information about which are the best predictors. But obviously, we know that the presence, the expression of the target at the level of the tumor will be important. And this has already been shown for Nectin-4, and there is less evidence on TROP2. So we have a new series of studies that need to be conducted in order to identify the predictive factors for these new therapies.
Thank you all for listening to this podcast brought to you by Ace Oncology.